St. Augustine has a very powerful phrase. He says, men love the truth when it enlightens them, but they hate it when it accuses them. And this feast today is an illustration of that. God coming this close to us through the prophets, and finally in his own Son, to whom he is hypostatically, you know, the word, to his Son is hypostatically united to this humanity. This is Jesus Christ, is God. And that's a little too much. You see, because it disrupts our plans, our ideas, our vision of how things ought to be. It's too big. Stephen was killed because he said to his Jewish contemporaries, you've got to move on. You're not really doing what the Lord wanted you to do with this temple or with your obedience to God. In our text, as you probably recognize, we go from verse 10 to verse 54, actually chapter 6, a few verses, and then chapter 7, the end of his long speech. And his long speech, if you want to go home and read it, is, which of your generations ever really obeyed God? You know, you kind of twist it and change it and make it more acceptable. As somebody once said, you know, the leaders in the church today, the priests, can say, well, I understand, you know, I mean, but if you really need to have an abortion, it's all right. In other words, they make themselves more compassionate than Jesus. I know better than Jesus. Now, Stephen goes after that in the speech that we don't have, but you can read, you see. Why is it? And then our Lord, knowing what's going to happen to him, says they will hand you over, scourge you in the synagogues, you'll be brought before governors and kings, everything that happened to him. And he says, it's going to happen to you. Now, what's the challenge here? You see, Stephen, regrettably, I don't know why they didn't go a little bit further and put down his last prayer, you know, Lord, forgive them. You know, he should have, our prayer mentions it. Because you see, that's the key. The key is loving. Loving in the power of the blessed Holy Spirit, who reveals to us how much the Father loves us, how much the Son loves us, to have poured out his blood for us. You see, that's what's going to change the world. And so we have, on the day after Christmas, a sort of an assessment of the disruption that God has brought into our comfortable little history. Really wasn't very comfortable, if you know world history. I mean, poverty, oppression, war. You see, if this is all we've got, then whatever bit of it I manage to hang on to, I keep. And if I have to kill and murder and war and everything else to keep it, this is all I got. The only ones who really knew different were the Jews. And there were great, heroic. We just celebrated some of them, right? Anna, Simeon, you know, great, great holy people. Even Zechariah in his own way. But it's hard, like, to keep up with God. He goes too fast. And he thinks too big. And he loves too much. And it's disruptive. Now, we become part of that when we try to love God, when we try to love others, when we try to tell them what life is all about, the meaning of being, of existing at all. And people resist that because they're so afraid. They're so afraid it'll get out of control. Then I won't know what's happening. I won't be able to control my life. An incredible illusion, huh? Because we can't control our life now. This, I think, is why the church says, look, Jesus came. There's God incarnate in a crib. Hallelujah. Now think of how disruptive this is. He wants your whole life. He wants you to be so transformed by His blessed Holy Spirit that your whole life is for the praise of His glory. So we can have great sympathy for our persecutors because we find it hard too. It's too disruptive. A little nice amount of religion to sort of, you know, but none of this fanatical stuff, you know, going out in the street and preaching, giving your whole life to Jesus, being single for the Lord your whole life. I mean, this is too much. And yet, this is the way to peace. This is the way to joy. Because you see, my friends, as Jesus has just outlined His life and then said, this is what will happen to you. That means what? We are united already with God. We are already united with God. I live now, not I. Christ lives in me. How awesome. And then to think, what are the issues here? Eternity. Eternity. A little bit of religion is good for the state. Eternity is bad for the state. Because people look beyond this system. They know they're bigger than any system. We have examples. Look at all those, you know, when we say Canon 1 there, Agnes, Cecilia, Anastasia, all these young girls who said, no, I'm not going to get married, I'm going to give my life to Jesus, upset the whole Roman Empire. Because here were these women saying, no, to their parents, you can't tell me what to do. Jesus has already told me. Disruption. And that's why they were killed. Because people could see, you let this go on, and the state will no longer be omnipotent. There'll be something greater than the state. God. God's presence among us. This is why the Jews were so disliked. Hitler went after them to kill every one of them. Why? Because their very physical, sloppy presence reminds us that there is a God. Remember when he went after them, you know, if a Jew said, look, I'm not practicing, practicing, non-practicing, I don't care. You, as a Jew, are an affront. Because you keep claiming that there is a God and he chose you. You are an affront. And to blot out any memory of God from this earth, I'll kill all the Jews. The Catholics were next in line in his plan. Now look at it from our side. We are united with God. That's what it means to be in the state of grace, which is such an abstract term, state of grace, state of Idaho, state of grace. It means that divine life courses through our whole being. Divine life is in us like heat is in water, in every part of us. But not just for ourselves. Because this invitation is for everybody. And it's very important that they heed it. Because again, the issue is eternity. says here, you know, they laid down their cloaks at the feet of a young man named Saul. And the tradition from the beginning has always said, see, Stephen lays down his life and Paul becomes Paul. The connection. You see, because just as Jesus died for the whole world, every Christian who gives their suffering in union with Christ to God the Father is working, extending the salvation. It is now my happiness to suffer for you and make up in my own body what is wanting. Wanting by the plan of God. Now, there's nothing wanting to the sufferings of Jesus. So these are some of the reflections I think happen to us when we wake up on December 26th and say, oh my gosh, it's the feast of a martyr. We haven't even finished the turkey from yesterday. But it's very precious. Very precious. And to realize that our call is to love and to be concerned. We too would like very much not to be disrupted. Have a nice little life of piety, respectable enough, and not have God keep bursting into our lives. But he says, I'm going to keep right on bursting because I love you. And I want you to be with my son, a part of the body that is his, to bring life and salvation to the whole world. So it's not the first one, you know. It is the first, but it's not the only one. In a few days we'll have the Holy Innocents, another disruptive factor. That's how much God loves us.